Welcome to Endless 08, a time loop anime podcast. I'm BJ.
And I'm Duffo.
It is 2008. We are watching and discussing anime from 2008, the year that it is.
And also discussing AMVs from 2008, the year that it is.
Yes. Again, I feel like I should remind everyone, I was not in the anime AMV culture at this time.
Please stop reminding our audience how unqualified you are to be here.
I speak Japanese. Apparently that's enough, according to you.
Yes, and we have gotten into the bracket here where none of the music's in Japanese.
So. No, of course not.
The song choices we have seen so far, we are still in the Vegeta Linkin Park bracket, so we are going through a bunch more metal music. I understand you don't have zero familiarity with this genre.
No, my familiarity with it, as you like mentioned, as we were watching it, we were watching one of them, and it was a Breaking Benjamin song, and I went, oh yeah, I know, I have heard this song before, and you mentioned that, oh yeah, such and such at your high school, you used to love these guys, and I was like, oh yeah, yeah, that would have been where I heard it, hanging out at that person's house and just having them playing the music or something. So all of my exposure to it really is that.
Yes. This would have been the era where I had like a rock band, a metal band. You may have heard us once and we were so fucking terrible.
I think I did hear you all once. I didn't think it was awful, but I mean,
it's a wall of sound from what I recall.
Yep. But also, to be fair, from my exposure at that point, that was just what, you know, a metal band was.
That is one of the moments I think I regret most in my life is that band was set up to play in the talent show.
Ah.
And I just did not fucking show up.
Oh, no.
We were so bad that I just went, I can't show up to that.
Yep. We've all got those moments in our life where
it was wrong of me to have done. I should have gone there and just played badly alongside the rest of my band.
No.
Because they showed up for it.
Yeah. But do they regret it? Actually, thinking back on it, probably not.
We are continuing into this bracket with, I would say, stronger contenders than we had last week.
Yes, definitely, definitely.
I will introduce the first one, the title of this one being Diary of Jane.
Yeah.
Set to the song Diary of Jane by Breaking Benjamin.
Yeah. This is the one where we were listening and I was like, oh, no, wait, I do know this song. And you mentioned it was Breaking Benjamin. I was like, oh, yeah, that's a name I've heard before.
Yes. Created by the AMV creator Buddha.
Okay.
And the anime here is Death Note.
This was an interesting AMV. I feel like the production quality of it was up there. This wasn't
so fuck it. Well, okay, high feels like a weird way to put this. There are obviously a lot of amateurish decisions made here.
Of course.
But also there is a lot of editing that has been put into this.
I would say that none of it was sloppy. There wasn't anything where I was like, oh, that's a clearly awful like cut or something like that. Like, it, nothing was sloppy.
There is a credit sequence in the end
where
the creator Buddha lists four different programs that they used to cut all of this together.
Very bold move. Yeah, I don't know what else to say about that, really.
Bold move to have a credit sequence.
Yeah.
Because this, the bulk of what we are dealing with here is the AMV set to the Breaking Benjamin song, but we have a title card. The first 30 seconds are like a different metal song.
Yep.
And we have all of these letters written in the Death Note font flying in to create the titles and like say who it's by. And then at the end, we switch to like a third soft rock song while we scroll through, here are the songs I used. Here's the show. Like, yeah, obviously, it's fucking Death Note.
Yeah.
The phrase Death Note appears like 20 times in your AMV.
It does, yeah.
And then, of course, your credits and then a special thanks to his mate.
Of course. I don't even remember the name, honestly, because, it was an internet handle, but I was like, it wasn't even like an interesting, like, if it was WeedGod420, oh, yeah, absolutely, I also would have shouted out WeedGod420, but it wasn't. It was basically just someone's name with some numbers on the end.
Yeah.
It was an interesting one. You had the comment, and I agree, as we were watching, that it was very fast.
Oh, the cuts are so quick.
Very quick. We don't hang on one shot for, I think, ever more than half of a second, really.
Yeah, it is a song that has these, like, quick double kicks in it the whole way through, and whenever there is a double kick, it will, flick between four different scenes quite rapidly. Never so fast that you couldn't discern what was happening. But definitely faster than you would have liked.
Yeah, let me put this, as someone who hasn't watched it, it flicked through fast enough that I was still trying to keep track of, is this a new character? Is this someone that's already been shown? I'm sure for somebody who's watched it, it would be a lot simpler, but it was slightly too fast for me in that sense.
Yeah, it was a struggle in that sense. It was not something that wanted to convey what Death Note is about.
No, not in any way. Not in any way. It was a tone poem.
It was a tone poem.
I feel like we're going to be saying that a lot.
They were emphasizing a lot of the more like chaotic and violent moments. Like you have the truck smashing through something. You've got, you know, the guy falling through the roof. All of the death moments that appear in this show. Because this is the show where, you know, you kill people with a Death Note and they will die like a... He has the power. Like, if he just writes their name... I'm explaining this for your credit.
Thank you. I have a vague idea of this, but I would love a solid explanation.
If he just writes a person's name, they die of a heart attack.
Oh.
But he can write their name and then specify a cause of death.
Oh.
And things will conspire that will happen.
Right.
So, after he starts doing too many heart attacks... He's like, I need to think this through more carefully.
Right.
And starts having to conceive of situations where this person would be in a scenario where this accident could happen to them.
Yep. I didn't realize that they would just die of a heart attack if he didn't specify a death. I think the last time somebody explained it to me, or when I read something online, I guess, I assumed that he had to give them a cause of death. Oh, no. Interesting. I'm thinking too much about this. I shouldn't really be getting into it because I'm going to want to watch it. I don't want to watch it. So this was an interesting... I need to not say interesting. This was a fun AMV overall. A little bit fast, but, you know, the edits were nice enough. We had lots of After Effects.
Yes.
You did call out a blood splatter that was just a very stock blood splatter.
They're doing a shitload of color grading over the top of these scenes, especially in like red and green.
Yes. Yeah. Very heavy red and green tint, like one after the other, often cutting between the two. There was also an effect that they were using a lot of whenever there was text on the screen where it would kind of... the text would flare. I don't know exactly what you'd call the effect, but like the white text on the dark background, the text would flare out. That one happened a lot, a bit heavy-handed, but, you know, it was a choice.
Yeah. And as we get into the back half of the AMV, they start sliding in panels from the manga.
Yeah, that was probably my favorite bit of this. Like, not just sticking to the anime, spicing things up. And not only were they slicing in panels, but they actually also cropped out, like... characters and things and superimposed one on top of the other and slid things around.
Yes, I really like the overlays they started to do where it was showing manga panels in the background and then like overlaying a transparent version of the show over it, but they're also like cutting the transparent section so it was just like a cloud
that
existed over the top of the page.
Very, very cool. Like I enjoyed this one quite a lot.
Yeah, I hope this person went on to go and actually work in this industry because you can see... the things going through their head where, like, they are... There's a lot of ambition here.
That you can see that they are making editing choices. They're not just throwing shit in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Overall, it's a strong competitor. It's the strongest we've seen so far in this bracket, I think.
Yes, definitely, so far.
The other show we were talking about...
I've got it here. The other one we are looking at is Kinesics, which is a Vagabond AMV, and it was made by... Hitomi Suiden. That's our creator here.
And what we're seeing after having this first show spliced up with manga panels, we have one that is entirely manga panels.
Yeah.
Or fan art of the show, I feel like a lot of it.
Yeah.
It's not a show.
No.
Vagabond is a manga. It is the retelling of the life of Musashi Miyamoto, the famous samurai.
I'm going to take your word for that because I do not know enough about Japanese history or Japanese literature.
I'm sorry. You were able to tell me about like regional Japanese historical figures from the area where you were at, but you have somehow skimmed over the most famous samurai to ever live.
That's because I don't know if we were talking about this on the show, but definitely for whenever I've talked to you about it before, that's because the dude who was the big historical figure in my area was Sakamoto Ryoma. He was the samurai with a gun.
Yes.
How cool is that? And
big fucking combat boots.
Yeah, and big fucking boots. He's a cool dude. And he was very important in the overthrowing of the shogunate at one point. He got assassinated in, I think, in Kyoto in like a in like a hotel somewhere. But yeah, like the reason I knew about him because he was like one of the only famous people from my area, and everyone talked about him whenever they found out I was foreign, and they were like, "Oh my god, you live here now? That's fantastic! Do you know about Yoma? He was on a bunch of different ads. He's on a bunch of different souvenirs. Like the dude's face is everywhere. So I could not get away without knowing about Sakamoto Yoma and his gun. I know nothing else, dude."
Okay, Musashi was a Ronin a lot of his life.
Okay.
Never really assigned himself to serving a particular lord for any length of time. He wandered around a lot, just joining random battles.
Right, okay.
Or getting himself in various amounts of trouble and shit.
Right.
And this is quite a acclaimed manga over in Japan. It's sold a fuckload of copies.
Okay.
It's you know, quite a serious adult. Normally when I say adult, we're kind of talking pornographic, but you know, no, this is directed at like a literary audience.
Right, okay.
And that's what we are dealing with here. It's over the top of this Stone Sour song. Is it Reborn the song is?
Yes.
It is.
I'm glad you know that because I do not.
Yeah, I know Stone Sour. I have seen them at Soundwave. My Stone Sour story. So that's it's Corey Taylor's band. He's also the frontman of Slipknot.
Ah, right, okay.
This is his other band that he has and tours with.
I distinctly remember you having at least one Slipknot poster in your room in high school.
Maybe I'll stand by it.
This is not a value judgment. This is one of the things that I remember.
Yes, and I was in the mosh pit at Stone Sour, and I was wearing these slip-on shoes.
Oh, no.
Which were in fashion at the time.
Yeah.
They don't sit on your feet that tightly. And in the mosh pit, I ended up losing one of them.
Wait, were they scar shoes?
No, not quite. They were like the canvas slip-on ones.
Weren't they the scar shoes?
No, they were just white.
Okay.
If they were checkered, they would probably be scar shoes.
Right, okay. That was the difference. Right, okay.
Yeah. And yes, so I lost those in that mosh pit. I got my feet jumped on a whole lot.
Yep.
For the rest of the day, I had to wear some thongs that I found in a gutter. And I continued to go into mosh pits and just get my feet jumped on. And I really fucking regretted it because it messed up my toenail for a long time.
Oof. I can sympathize. I just went to a wedding recently and I wore heels to this wedding.
Yeah.
I have big feet. Kind of hard to find heels that fit. So the heels that I have don't fit. So my feet were quite swollen by about halfway through this wedding. And then we all started dancing. So I was there on the dance floor, you know, bouncing around with everyone. God damn, my right foot got trod on by so many shoes. My right pinky toe was... The toenail is currently black because that's how many people jumped on it.
Christ. Yeah, that's what mine looked like.
Yeah, so anyway, this AMV.
Yes. We have some animated shots in here. I don't know where these animated shots come from.
Yeah.
Most of them are like seeping blood coming from somewhere, or it's like a sort of like a nature scene, but it's not clear what we're looking at because it is always overexposed and color graded and just to be like something to intersperse with the panels of art of these samurai.
I distinctly remember at least one or two shots that were a cutout of a person standing on a cliff or something, overlooking something, but they just cut out the grass and the person and put them over the top of one of these animated sections. And it was basically a big sky shot of, you know, clouds, something. But as you said, it's overexposed. You can't exactly tell what's going on. Quite, like, very pretty. Very nice to look at.
I don't think it's a fit for the music.
No. Yeah. I feel like some of the choices don't tonally fit. As that one that I mentioned, the overlooking the sky shot. Like, this is not a song that's, like, inspiring looking over a cliffside or something else like that.
No, he's doing screaming vocals in this.
Yeah, yeah. There was at one point I did have a little chuckle to myself because the tone was just so... rah, rah, rah. And then it was just, oh, what a nice, beautiful shot of a young boy or something. Like, not in any way correlating together.
Yeah. If it's... put in some fight scenes or anything like that, that would have been nice. But largely, this is just a lot of, like, people posing.
Yes. Lots of people posing. Even at the end, there was a zoom in from the top bird's eye view-ish of a character holding a hand up or something. But it looked like it was an interesting, very, very surprising shot, given the fact that it looked like it was a 2D cutout that had, like, a 2D image that had been placed into a 3D environment with a camera kind of zooming in and down on it,
like,
it at an angle.
Down, yeah.
Yeah. And, like, if that person had made that themselves, I'm assuming they did, a lot of effort went into that. It wasn't the most amazing looking thing in the world, but it was unique for sure.
Yeah, they probably did it once and went, wow, I sunk a lot of hours into that. I cannot do it a second time.
Yeah, yeah, probably. I don't really know that I have much else to say.
Yeah, overall, not a strong contender.
No, it definitely a noteworthy one. It's doing something different so far, but not the best executed, not the best, most consistent. And I think definitely this week I would have to say that our Death Note one moves forward in the bracket.
Yes, it certainly will. Unanimous decision going forward. Thank you for listening to Endless 08. I've been Duffo.
And I've been BJ. You can find all our stuff at endless08.com and on our social media.
If you know a real freak, tell them about the show. We'll see you next time.